Aquaculture and You, Creating a Sustainable Resource. A production of the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute. Culturing Perch. In the previous episodes, we covered in detail the essential historical background necessary to understand the development of modern aquaculture in Wisconsin. Now it's time to get our audio boots on the ground and hear from people all around the region who are directly involved with aquaculture and its products on a day-to-day basis. And I can't think of a better person to start with than Jim Held.
I'm Jim Held. I'm an aquaculture extension specialist for the University of Wisconsin Extension Service. I've been doing that for 5 years or so. And prior to my work with extension, I was an aquaculture researcher with the University of Wisconsin-Madison Aquaculture Program, working on species and techniques for commercial fish farming. And that's just what aquaculture is, farming fish just like you would any other livestock. Aquaculture is an ancient practice, but the techniques we're using these days make it much more efficient. And really, aquaculture is a demonstration of domesticating the last food source that we have. Virtually everything else that you eat comes from a farm or a domestic source. You don't go out into the wild and collect cattle or chickens or hogs or anything like that, at least not for most people. But fish are a different matter. We've been fishing the oceans and fishing our freshwater resources for a long time, and that has been the majority of the fish we've consumed. Well, that trend is changing, and in the past 10 years or so, it's been changing dramatically. Currently, about just under 50% of the fish that we consume as a population come from farms. In 1965 or so, probably 5% of the world's consumption came from farms. So it's a real changeover. So aquaculture is an important part of today's economy and today's food resources. We're at the Lake Mill State Fish Hatchery. This is a Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources production facility for the southern half of the state primarily. It's the only hatchery that's in the southern half, and they produce walleye, northern pike, rainbow trout here for stocking into the lakes, and also the trout go into Lake Michigan. So it's a very valuable resource for the state as recreational enhancement. But my work here has been primarily with yellow perch and walleye, developing these species as a food production commodity, trying to take what was a wild animal. And when we started working with yellow perch back in the late 70s, there really was no domestic production of wild perch. There were no stocks. Everything came from the wild. And as a research program, we developed the commercial methods for propagation and growing of these fish as a livestock. It took a lot of strange turns, unfortunately, working with perch. Well, perch is a valuable commodity, but they're a little different than any other fish that we've worked with. Their method of reproduction is a little strange. Instead of having discrete eggs, they have a ribbon of eggs, and it kind of looks like the bellows of a concertina when it gets laid by the female. So we had to develop methods of stripping the eggs from the female and fertilizing and then incubating those eggs so that we could make little fish. If you can't make little fish, you can't make big fish. That's pretty obvious. Those fish also had to be feed trained, and that's something that initially was a rather difficult thing to do. In the early years, we were happy if we could get half of the fingerlings from our pond to take formulated commercial diets. And in order to be successful at aquaculture, you just about have to use commercial diets. They're a balanced food for the fish. They're relatively efficient and comparatively inexpensive compared to if you're going to feed minnows or bugs or worms or something like that. It's very difficult to do. So developing those techniques, these days we're up over 80-90% success with training the fish to take artificial feed. They show a very good growth rate. We can get these fish to market size in generally 2 to 3 years from an egg, which seems to be a long time. But if you have rotating crops in your ponds or in your raceways, it's something that's economically feasible to do.
I'm Chris Hartlib. I'm a professor of fish biology at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. I'm also the co-director of the UW-Stevens Point Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility. We're here at UW-Stevens Point in the aquaculture labs, and we're taking a look at some of the yellow perch, as well as some of the hybrid walleye that we've been raising. The yellow perch we have here, they're one of the more popular farm-raised fish in Wisconsin, and we recently completed a 3-year study funded by Sea Grant taking a look at different types of fertilizers that you can add to ponds in order to enhance the food web and therefore grow the perch faster and have greater survival. Then we also have the hybrid walleye. Walleye are another popular fish in Wisconsin, and trouble that you have with both perch and walleye is that generally it takes more than a year for you to get the fish from hatch all the way to market size. And the industry would really like to get a product, the fish, out of the farm within a year. So we've been working on hybrid walleye because they tend to show faster growth than regular walleye, trying to come up with ways to get them on to feed when they're very young, to get them basically growing as fast as we can in indoor recirculating tanks.
So we just ordered here at Filer's, which is a typical Wisconsin supper club. It's a Friday. We're having a little bit of fish fry. Jim Hurley, who's the director of UWC Grant now in 2012, is going to tell us a little bit about why this is important in Wisconsin.
The fish fry has a long history in Wisconsin. It started out with religious overtones, and then it just became a tradition. And Friday night at a supper club like we're at, you do get a feeling that you're part of a club, and a club that enjoys eating fish on Friday nights. Around Wisconsin, you do see ocean fish. You see cod and haddock as part of a fish fry. But especially in Wisconsin, and especially around southeast Wisconsin, the Friday night fish fry was centered around lake perch. And it was because lake perch was so abundant in Lake Michigan. So depending on which part of the Midwest you're from, you have that local type of specialty. There's such a connection to the lakes because of the fish that they produce. So lake perch was one that many people grow up in. My wife, for example, grew up on the south side of Milwaukee, and Friday nights were Friday night fish fries with yellow perch.
Well, yellow perch in Wisconsin, it's always been a favored food fish of the people around the Great Lakes, and it's something that has a very strong social background. Used to be, back in the 50s and 60s, when you had a Friday night fish fry, you had perch. And that's all you had. There was no cod, there was no anything else. It was always and every time just perch because it tastes so good. The current supply of yellow perch is way down from the landings that were happening out of the wild from the Great Lakes in the 60s, but there's still a very, very strong market. The current supply only gets about 100 miles away from the Great Lakes, and it's all eaten up. It's all gone. You don't find perch dinners in Nevada or Texas or Florida or any other place than in the Midwest, from New York around to Minnesota. Generally, perch is the favored food fish, and it commands a fairly high price in the marketplace these days.
Fred Binkowski, I'm the Wisconsin Sea Grant Aquaculture Specialist. I'll tell you something about yellow perch. You can broil it, you can bake it, you can do all those kinds of things with it, but yellow perch were born to be fried. So that's the only way you're going to want to really eat it. The demand and the supply has always been an interesting concept. Even when there were millions of pounds being harvested commercially out of Green Bay and Lake Michigan, the supply never met the demand. The demand always exceeded the supply, which is good for the aquaculture industry.
Well, here on campus, we mostly have recirculating aquaculture systems. This way the water just recycles and gets filtered. Right now we've got a tank full of probably one-year-old yellow perch, and next to them are a tank of about one-month-old yellow perch. What I do here on campus is we get a lot of undergraduate students involved in the research. For the past year, they've been looking at using different types of lighting over the tanks. Obviously, most people have used incandescent light bulbs, but as the U.S. shifts over to more energy efficient lighting, such as compact fluorescent or LED lighting, the question comes back and that says, does that affect the fish? Can they see the same or can they grow just as well? So I've had undergraduate students working on some projects looking at the effects of the different lighting, because each one of them gives off a different spectral pattern. It's the colors of the rainbow. The fish will see differently once the light hits the water, and we've been investigating those different lighting sources. Yellow perch tend to favor lighting that's in the red spectrum. Maybe it gives them a better contrast of the food against the background of the tanks. They just seem to feed more aggressively and grow faster with a greater red lighting. And what we found is that compact fluorescent bulbs tend to give light off more heavily in a red spectrum, so that maybe compact fluorescents are a good idea for indoor culture perch. And then, of course, the latest on the market is the LED lighting. And what makes them unique is that you can get LED lighting in any color of the spectrum. So perhaps if you can get LEDs that have a broader red spectrum, they too might do better for the growth of yellow perch. Well, these are one-month-old yellow perch. These are the fish that, right after they hatch, one of the things that you have to do is you have to get the yellow perch or the walleye to start accepting commercial fish food. We actually, after they hatch, put them into ponds and then try different fertilizers, organic or inorganic fertilizer, to try to enhance a food chain. The fertilizers would be consumed by the algae by the plankton, and then the fish would eat the plankton. And that's kind of the traditional way of raising walleye and yellow perch. And then after they grow to about 1 inch in size, then you start to try to transition them to commercial fish food. And then you could put them in tanks or keep them in the ponds. What you ultimately would like to do is right after they hatch, get them right onto commercial fish food. Because then you control the nutrients, the energy that they're getting, the amount of food is predictable because you're delivering it. So you get a more predictable growth rate for those fish at that point. And of course, when you're working with recirculating or indoor culture, you basically have to utilize fish food at that point, because it can become very labor-intensive and expensive if you want to constantly put live feed, such as plankton, into culture tanks. So these fish basically hatched within the past month. They're now going through what's called feed training, or getting put onto commercial fish food. And then they'll become part of either an aquaponics project, or we're going to continue working also on that lighting experiment to see if we can isolate just exactly what types of light result in the best growth of the fish.
People are probably curious about what impact aquaculture will have for perch and walleye and Wisconsin fish fry.
That's a real emerging issue right now, is can we supply certain types of fish through aquaculture? Yellow perch especially. The price of yellow perch in a fish market is up around $12, $14, $15 a pound because it's so rare. There isn't a big commercial fishery, but aquaculture gives us the ability to grow more food, to grow more fish. And you're starting to see more and more aquaculture operations have niche types of fish that they will grow. And yellow perch is one that we're seeing more and more concerns get involved with, investing large money in yellow perch because they can grow it and they know that it's in demand, especially in Wisconsin. It in and of itself is almost religious. People have grown up as children eating yellow perch. Then there's a period where you couldn't get it, and now you can get it, and you're attracted to it when you see it on a menu.
Yellow perch did save my childhood, because I was raised Catholic too.
Well, the decline of the yellow perch fishery is kind of controversial. There are a number of different stories associated with it. Could be loss of habitat, could be aquatic invasives like the goby or other invasives that have gotten into the Great Lakes. One of my favorites was the story, and I don't know that it's true, but the story that at some point in the near past, they put a size limit on yellow perch. If a perch was over 8 inches, you could keep it as a commercial fisherman, and if it was smaller than that, you had to throw it back. Well, okay, I mean, that's not an unreasonable thing to do. Unfortunately, generally, only the females get over 8 inches and the males never do. So what you're doing in a fishery is you're catching all the females and you're throwing back all the males. Well, you can well imagine that might have an impact on reproductive success. Now, like I say, I don't know that that's true, but it was one of those interesting stories. Another one was talking about surfactants. Those are things that are added to soaps and shampoos for the bubbles to form. Well, those surfactants acted supposedly as estrogenic compounds, and they interrupted the reproduction cycle of the females. So I don't think anyone has really solved the problem as to what happened to all the fish. It's not like the Grand Banks. We know what happened in the Grand Banks. I'll get to that. But as far as the perch fishery in the Great Lakes, Lake Erie is the only lake now that has a significant industry. It's being enhanced by stocking. A very big Canadian fishery is taking the fish out of Lake Erie. So that's where they're coming from in the wild. Interesting about the Grand Banks, the world's most important cod fishery. For centuries, those fishing grounds, wars were fought over the rights to fish there. And then the cod landing started to go down. And this was maybe, I don't know, 15 years ago or so. And a bunch of scientists got together and said, what's happening here? Is it loss of habitat? Is it pollution? What's going on? And after a few years worth of study and an awful lot of research, they finally came back and said, well, we just caught them all. And that certainly has an impact on reproduction and a population. If you end up overfishing your grounds, it's all about that sustainable yield concept. And we're probably beyond sustainable yield in many of those world fisheries out in the open oceans. So we have to do something about that. And the answer to that is farm the fish. It's been the answer for every other food source that we've had. And now, surprisingly, it's taken us this long in time to try and decide that this is the way to solve the problem of not having enough fish available for the population to eat. The other thing that's changing, of course, are what we consider to be healthy dietary choices. And we're learning more and more that fish is an excellent dietary choice. It's high in protein, it's generally low in fat. Much of the fat that it contains are those omega-3 fatty acids, those anti-cholesterol fatty acids. So it's a very, very healthy food for people to choose.
All the Great Lakes cities, Cleveland, Detroit, Chicago, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and smaller cities like Green Bay, they all are dependent on this icon for the Friday night fish fry, and yellow perch is it. When people go out for their Friday night fish fry, it represents a cultural and social activity. It dates back to the beginning of the Meatless Fridays with Catholicism. That's really what probably drove it and put the Friday night fish fries where it's at today. Catholicism, they got a little bit weak on their rules and regulations and decided to let people eat meat on Fridays. Well, what they should do is switch back to Meatless Fridays, and they'd push this industry a whole nother level because people would even want more fish.
I'll alert the bishop.
Yeah. Well.
This recording was produced by Chris Bocast for the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute, 2012. Thanks for listening.